Hear these words from John's first epistle, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. And now, O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A headline in the Star Tribune last Friday read, "A family reunion like few others." Can you imagine the scene of that family reunion? In 1991, the year that some of you were born probably, a young girl was kidnapped, 11-year-old girl. And she was held for all of those years. But lo and behold, not long ago, she was found and reunited with her mother, and consequently, a family reunion like few others, says the Star Tribune. That scene must have been just phenomenal. The aunt of the girl described the scene of the mother caressing the girl after all these years and brushing her hair and so forth. Even the most stoic among us would probably just burst out in tears if we saw that scene. And yet I can tell you that you yourself have participated in a family reunion like that, only it is a family reunion like no other. It's described in our text today. Can you imagine this scene? Reunited with your Heavenly Father. John is just so overwhelmed with the idea that we could be called the children of God that he just expresses the thought effusively. In fact, the first verse of our reading today could read as a headline for us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Children of God. We've had a reunion with our Heavenly Father. Children of God. Amazing. You'd think we should be called something else other than children of God. You'd think that words like these should really describe what we are. Selfish. Disobedient. Full of envy. Saturated with greed. Locked into animosity toward God and others if we can't have it our way. Yes, outright enemies of God. That is what we are. Children of darkness, we could also be called. A newspaper clipping a couple of days ago talked about a woman who wanted to sell her child. She evidently had no time for this child anymore, and so she was at least going to get something out of her child, and she wanted to sell the child for a house. Well, you'd think that that's what God would have liked to have done in our case, except he'd have no takers. What are these people good for? They already belong to Satan. They're already children of darkness. Who's going to give me anything for them? But lo and behold, the attitude of God is different from ours, totally different. Paul reminds us that every now and then it could happen that someone would die for a righteous person. It could happen, but it is very, very rare that someone would take a grenade for someone else. But God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, children of darkness, Christ died for us. The hymnist was so captivated by that expression that he said in a hymn that we like to sing, "The sinless Son of God must die in sadness. The sinful child of man may live in gladness." The true, pure Son of God, forsaken, thrown out of the family, so that we could have a universe-class family reunion with our Father. To a baptism where the child about to be baptized is just screaming and kicking all the way. And you say, "Can't somebody do something about that kid?" And yet the baby is baptized and God accepts the baby into the kingdom of God. We too came kicking and screaming into the kingdom of God. But God chose us through his Son, and he adopted us, and he made us a part of his family. Even long after we have been a part of God's family, yet we still carry the old kid within us, and we go back to the old ways, and still he does not forsake us. And so John assures us in this same epistle, if somebody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. We enjoy his forgiveness day in and day out. And so God says, put the robe on my son and daughter, the robe of righteousness of Jesus. Put a ring on his or her finger, the ring that promises that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Prepare the feast. Let him eat at my kingdom and let him enjoy my special supper, the Lord's Supper. Nothing can rob us from our status now. Not even enemies, says John. John is writing in a big world-class city, the city of Ephesus, where there are lots of enemies of the Christians and lots of opportunity to lapse into sin. And John reminds them that even though there are enemies, it is really just proof that they are the children of God, because enemies resent the children of God. And nothing can rob a person of this status, this heavenly this reunion which has already taken place. In fact, these enemies are themselves potential children of the family of God. Think of them as a mission field. Because as our text says, anyone who has this hope in Christ, purifies himself. And as the same John wrote in the Bible's most famous verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So enemies, instead of potentially ripping us away, are themselves a mission field unto themselves. There is yet another great glory that John points us forward to. We think we have already had a great reunion as we spiritually entered the kingdom of God here on earth. There'll be another scene. We will see our Savior face to face, and we will be purified and glorified, even as his body was glorified. Let us await that great family reunion in the hope that God himself has given us. Let us arise and pray. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, for Jesus' sake, for sometimes repaying your lavish love toward us with indifference toward you and unkind and loveless words toward those in our Christian family. We thank you that in spite of our unworthiness, you have not disowned us. You have not cut us off from our eternal inheritance given us through our brother Jesus. And so cause now our gratitude to you to be abundant, and our love toward our brothers and sisters in Christ to be in keeping with your lavish love heaped upon us. By your Holy Spirit, cause our love to show today in our thoughts, actions, and expressions of kindness, in our personal families, our Bethany family, and the family of your Holy Christian Church. Motivate us also to invite the lost and the lonely and the heavenly fatherless into your family through Jesus Christ, our brother and the Savior of all the world. Amen.